we're gonna continue. We're gonna finish up. Speaking about the Church of the Thessalonica, we're at the conclusion now. Somebody please read that. I'm sorry, 32.
The conclusion?
Yes, ma'am.
For all the knowledge men and women have amassed about the world, for all the technological gadgets and medical models, people still die. In the words of the old song, we are going down the valley one by one. In Christ, death is no longer a morbid reality. It is the light of a better day, a better time. Christians rejoice in the life this world gives them. They love one another, lead quiet and peaceful lives, contribute to the world, earn their own way. They live and hope as they do because God has given a Savior. Because they have faith in Him, He will escort them through death and give them a land where there is no dying and no tears. Revelation. No wonder John should write, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith."
Faith. We must believe that what God is telling us is true. And you know, sometimes we like the Thessalonians, they had thoughts of certain things and they was getting teaching of certain people or whatnot. In this world right now, there's some teaching that's going on that's ridiculous. I don't know, they're trying to say they're getting it from the Bible, but it's not of the Bible. They're saying things like I've heard someone said that you, after a person die, you can actually pray for them. If they were a sinner, you could actually pray for them. Do we know that?
No.
Do anybody here believe that?
No.
The Bible says what? For it is appointed once to die and then the judgment. Yeah. Are you in faith? When you have done what you have done it. That's it. And you will get judged for what you have done. And there's so many teachings. There's some teachings like that everybody is going to heaven. You know, everybody, no matter what. I heard a preacher say something. You know, I listen to folks. You know, like I said, you know, I try to go by God's word. He says, for those who have a ear, let him hear. You listen to folks. You would hear them. You would see where they're coming from. And this is what they're saying, something like this, right? That everybody is God's children. God created everybody. But everybody choose not to be their sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. They choose to be the devil's daughter. Mm-hmm. But some people will say everybody is God's children. God said, if you are mine, you would follow my lead. You would follow my commandments if you love me. Right? Mm-hmm. But there's some people of disobedience and so forth and so on. And in this world, we got a whole, you know, it's like, We what the Bible says, we're changing it for our own stump belly's sake. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever is necessary to make me feel good, that's what I'm going to believe. You know, that's exactly what I'm going to believe in. And faith is our victory. Faith is we believe in what God says regardless. If God, I'm not saying that He will. Now, if God says to jump off this building, right? We don't need to ask a question, just jump. But you know, God may not say to do such a thing, right? But faith is our victory, and we must believe what God says, what the Bible says. He took His time and got together some prophets and some apostles and wrote this book for us. Are you with me? For us to read and study, that we might know what's best for us. Because in this world right now, a lot of things ain't best for us. People are trying to clone, you know, that, you know, why you want to take over God's work? Are you with me? They're trying to make things right for two women to be together, so they impregnate one so one can have the baby, right? So forth and so on, you know, and they try to make it right. And the churches, you know, the Catholic, the Pope, he was saying, you know, like things like that, but then again, he kind of like changed it for a little season, like changed it around, like saying that's, you know, but they're still our people. Yes, God still, God loves us all, but we are not, some of us are the children of the devil, you know. Some of us, we truly are the children of the devil. We ought to recognize this and you know, and try to help those who are strayed away or whatever, but we can't let them stray us away. You know, we must know Bible. We got to study our Bible that we might know and give them an answer, because if we don't have an answer to give them, what are we going to give them? You know? What are we going to give them? We need an answer. And like I said, you know, when we die, that's it. Nobody could come and pray for us. You got some who saying that, you know, you could, they're able to bring them back to life. Are you with me? Now, if that was the case, we could shut down the hospital, right? Mm-hmm. And the mortuaries, we could shut it down. We don't need that no more, because we got a man, some men who could bring back to life. You see, these people who they brought back to life wasn't dead in the first place. Because there's a lot of times, you know, I'm not no doctor, but I listen, like I said, right? And a lot of times people are gone for a while. You know, it may be beep, right? Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Then you can bring them back. And then some beep and stay beep. Right? Right? Mm-hmm. But they're saying that you have some who could go to the grave or whatever and, you know, bring them back. No, don't you know, don't believe in that, because there's going to be a lot of people who's going to be teaching stuff like that. And he said, you know, in the last days, we're going to have some teachers out there teaching some stuff, you know, teaching things like abortion, once again, you know, and teaching things like hate crimes, right? And just like what's going on now with the Palestinians and the Israel, you know, that's a lot of hate, man. Could you picture yourself living in a place like that? That's heavy. That's truly heavy. And you know, think about it. I saw something like this, right? That, you know, some people were maybe lawyers. Some people probably had, you know, white collared people. Are you with me? And those same white-collar people are pushing through a line with a bucket to get food. Mm-hmm. You see, that their pride is gone. And if we don't be careful, we'll be in that same line. Yeah. You know. And if our pride is too high, guess what? We ain't gonna go until we get real hungry. Are you with me? Because our pride will stop us from doing that. Right. I see people. You know, and especially the kids, they'll send their kids, and their kids up there, you know, trying to get some soup or whatever that is, and you know, and for them to feed their families. Are you with me? Like I said, it could be some doctors, could be some lawyers, whoever, white collar people, you know, blue collar people who worked every day, people who pay their bills, who had cars, who had homes. Now they don't have nothing, but they have to stand in a soup line. You see, there was a recession in the United States once, right? You remember that, right there? You were born there? All right. All right. But anyway, but that recession, right, that took that was history, an example of what could happen to us again. There were many people in that line who didn't want to be in that line. Are you with me? And one of the things about what I learned about the recession back then, right, was Al Capone, right, a sinner, an evil man. He was doing a lot of good things. Are you with me? He was feeding folks, you know, for Christmas. He would give them turkey. He would have a soup line, free soup line, you know. You just come and eat, right? And the people, you know what they were thinking of him? That he was an angel. Are you with me? But he was an evil man. Okay? He was evil. And they looked toward him, you know, to get their feeding going on, right? And so forth and so on. There were some people, like I said, like that today. There were some people who had homes, who had a family, who had things, cars, but they was, you know, they had to get rid of that pride and hit that line. Are you with me? They had to get rid of that pride and hit that line, right? And one of the things we want to do is keep praying. We need to be on praying ground. Our faith need to be so high in prayer that God will hear us and God will deliver for us. But if we're not on praying ground, which we ought to be, you know, we're not to be on fighting ground, fighting one another, because that, like I said before, that's what the devil wants. He wants us to fight one another. Think about Tom Brady. I can't stand him. I'm just kidding now, right? But he hurt me many times, right? But anyway, think about his team. If they didn't work together, right, you think he would have seven rings? They had to work together to make that happen. Bill Bradley, not Bradley, for back in the days, oh my God. Bill Russell. Thank you, Jerry. Bill Russell. 11 championships. You think he could have got that if they didn't work together? They had to work together faithfully. Even if they was just trusting in the basketball team or whatever, right? But they worked together faithfully. The Bible teaches us even when the unrighteous work together, they prosper. Are you with me? You can be crooked and work together, and you still could prosper. You see? But we are righteous. We want to try to work together righteously and prosper. Are you with me? And Michael Jordan, they say that he's the greatest. I still say Bill Russell is, right? I really do. You know, because Bill, my understanding is that he played 12 years and lost one championship. And the reason why he lost that championship that year, because he was hurt. Am I right, Jerry? That's how it went, right? Okay.
That's a long time back.
Yeah. But anyway, that's my understanding, right? 12 years he played. And the one year he was out hurt, that's the year that they lost. So go ahead.
I'm hearing what you're saying, but the thing what you're saying too is we continually need to have our faith in God.
Yes,
because
sir.
Just like Jesus told Pilate, mm-hmm. nobody has the power unless to get it from God, regardless of what, even mm-hmm. though you may be considered dead, if you said they call it flatline, you know, mm-hmm. they try to revive you. Mm-hmm. And all you hear is that you see the little line go across, you're considered dead. But they keep working on you, they may give you the electrical shock or whatever, and the defibrillator or whatever, the right word for it. They bring you back to life. They didn't bring you back, they performed the procedures of doing, but without God, you're still not coming back, because when your time is here at hand, your time is at hand, ain't nothing man gonna do. So we all have, we have to realize that there's a time, that, as the Bible says, a time and a season for everything. Not taking nothing away from what you're saying, but people of different times, you know of people of time past, people in this time know of people of this time. In the future, this will be old too, you know, and it will be somebody else that will break their record and whatnot. But without God, He's the only one that's everlasting, will always be, always has been, and that's who we have to put our faith and our trust in, because that never changes. As time goes on, there's going to always be somebody at the top. There's going to always be somebody to make a record. But God's record would never be broken.
Exactly. The Bible teaches us about faith. It says we walk by faith, not by sight. It teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
The Bible teaches us what faith is. Faith is the... Faith is the Hebrew 11th chapter, right? What does it say? Hebrew. What does it say? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The evidence of things hoped for. You know what faith is. That's what faith is.
Substance
of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. I got to learn it a little better. It says faith, and we have to have that faith. We have to have that faith to believe in God. Because sometimes what we'll do, we'll put it in man. We say what he done. He brought that man back to life, that woman back to life. He did this or he did that. Wherein he didn't do anything without God.
Right.
You see?
The easiest way, well, not the easiest way, but one way to look at it and say it is believing in what you can't see. Whatever way you want to word it or phrase it, it boils down to believing in that which you can't see, which is God. We cannot see God by our natural eye. But we can see him in so many other ways. We can't see air, but we know it's there. You know.
And we can't see God, but God could what? See us.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to have faith, and we got to be able to pray. We got to be able to pray, because this world we're in a mess. This world we're in a mess. This world is getting worse. And the Bible teaches it's getting worse and worse. And man is making it worse. And man is making it worse. And man is making it worse. Okay, the questions. You also got your answers, right? Well, we'll try it anyway. I got a few answers. They might be right. I hope they're right. But anyway, okay. The first question. At what city had Paul preached the gospel immediately before he went to Thessalonica?
Philippi.
Number two. What things indicated the importance of Thessalonica in the Grecian Roman world?
It was a major seaport. It held the Roman proconsul. And it was next to a fertile plain. It had a Jewish synagogue.
Thessalonica had it going on, but they just they just needed it going on. Because you could live in a big home with no life in it. It got to be some life in the home, and that makes it that truly makes it a home. Okay, number three. Why did Paul make it practical to preach first in the synagogue. It's a gathering place. That's where the crowd loves to be. Okay. How long was the synagogue open to Paul in Thessalonica?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. And then, you know, when we read on, he was there, you know, back and forth, you know, a little longer. But it was 3 weeks we see. Okay. Number five. Which of Paul's traveling companions does Acts mention who shared his word among the Thessalonians?
Timothy and Silas.
What two essential elements of the gospel does Acts say that Paul presented to the Thessalonians?
Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead.
Suffer and resurrection. Yes, ma'am. Verse 7. What quality had Thessalonians Christians manifested so that it was unnecessary for Paul to give them further admonition?
Love one another.
Love one another and have faith. Okay. What are the next cities where Paul preached after he left Thessalonica? What were the next cities where Paul preached after he left Thessalonica?
Berea.
Mm-hmm. I got Athens and Corinth.
Yeah, Athens, Corinth, Berea. All of that's good. Where was Paul when Timothy and Silas joined him with news about the Thessalonians church? Where was he? Okay, Athens. Okay, I got Athens. Corinth. Okay. Last one. How did the secular world in Paul's day look at death and dying? They lack faith. They lack faith. Because back then they was thinking, you know, what happened to the dead, you know? We're gonna be risen, right? What about the dead? It's like I told you before, this is crazy, right? But anyway, I had a Bible study with someone and they were saying, you know, so this what you saying, the one church and you saying that you must be baptized and so forth, this is correct, right? I said this is scripture. You know, I said you know, you read that. And the person said yes, right? I said, will you? I said, in other words, ain't none of my family was baptized, so you telling me that they're going to hell? I said, no, I'm not saying that. I'm having the Bible study with you, right? But they want to know, right, what happened to the family who's dead. I don't know. I'm talking to you. Well, we teach to the living. Are you with me? Now, I just want to ask a question. I want your brother, please answer, right? How would you have answered that? You know, how do you understand the question?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we know that the period of time from death mm-hmm. to the resurrection day of Jesus will all be judged. Mm-hmm. I don't see any problem with praying to God that He has mercy on their soul mm-hmm. between that period of time. The decision where they go, of course, is up to Him and always be Him. Mm-hmm. It's not us. But I don't see any problem praying for mercy and grace from God on their souls. Who knows what how God thinks of you. Okay. Can imagine what His memory is. But okay. I know His heart's big.
Yeah, I understand that. But I won't believe it like that. No, you know. I hope we don't fall out for that, because the Bible says, "For there's a time that we ought not to even pray for somebody. Are you with me? Wherein, like I said, you know, if this is true, it's good. But the Bible says, like, this is appointed once to die, and then the judgment. So when you die, you're in the judgment already. And you know, and I know somebody going to pray, because especially for loved ones. We're going to pray for loved ones. Of course we're going to do it. You know, and you know, so forth and so on. But you know, we just go back over it and just check that out again, this particular thing. Just check it out again, you know, to make sure that we're on the right page with God, and not on the right page with me, but with God. Okay, because it's very important that we know. But anyway, like I said, the person said that, you mean to tell me that ain't none of my people going to heaven because they wasn't baptized? I said, I don't know where they are. I don't know where I'm speaking to you, the living person.
The best way I would think of and how I would approach that is what we believe today is according with what the Bible says. Christ said there's no way that we can see the Father or we'll reach the Father or spend time in eternity unless we go through Him. And it's commonly known that God gives us free will, and each of us, there's no one, I don't believe, and this is my belief, I don't know where to find it in the Bible, but I don't believe that God will allow no one to live on this time side of life and not at some point or another in their life come in contact with the truth one way or another. Mm-hmm. But it's up to them to make that decision as to, because they have free will, whether or not they want to believe, whether or not they want to follow the word. So whatever they do, it's on them. Mm-hmm. Now, we cannot expect a mother, father, uncle, aunt, nobody else to help us get into heaven, and we can't help nobody else get into heaven. So it's on us to what we do. We pose the Father Christ, mm-hmm. and it's up to us to make that decision. Nothing nobody else is going to do is going to get us into heaven except for following Jesus Christ. And whether they want to believe that their mother or their father or whoever in their family didn't make it or is going to make it, it's irrelevant, because the question is, are you going
to
make it?
Exactly. Speaking to the living.
Right. And so you have to make that decision for your own self, even if your mother didn't make it, your brother didn't make it, your whoever in your family don't make it, you still have the same opportunity to go to heaven as they did. Whether they took advantage of it or not, I'm sorry to say, to tell the truth and to give them a truthful answer, something that is based on what we believe and what the Bible says, you have to make that decision for yourself. And then you're not going to heaven because your mama went or because your father went or anybody else in your family went. You're going because of what you believe and what you do, the way in which you live. If your family member was faithful as faithful could be, that's not going to help you none whatsoever. And if you can be as faithful as you can be, it's not going to help your family member. We live by what Christ says, and we get our just reward and judgment. That's the most truthful way I can see the answer. And still be the choice, be up to them on what they want to believe and what they want to do. Because God still gives them free choice, free will.
Mm-hmm. I believe the Bible says, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot be. Mm-hmm. You can't die in sin and then be resurrected in glory. That's my understanding.
Right.
You know. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. Go ahead, bro.
Two things I was thinking about was the sheep and the goats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to,
And she's going to ask, when have we saw you mm-hmm. and done this to be able to come to your glory? And the goat's going to be saying, haven't we not done all of this? And he's still going to say, I knew you not. Mm-hmm. And so it's like we hear today this modern day so-called just repent and you become mortal mm-hmm. and you be saved. That's not the Holy Spirit, you know. So that's why they probably won't be recognized, but they didn't receive the gift from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then in, what's that in 1 Thessalonians, I think it's chapter 4, we talk about the dead in Christ shall rise first. Mm-hmm. And we who are here shall meet him in the air. Mm-hmm. So the key word, dead in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right. Dead in Christ.
And so that's another thing. So when people want to ask you a question, we can ask them, well, did they die in Christ? You know, so that takes that off your plate. Because the scripture, you need to tell them where to go in the scripture. And they can answer the question themselves.
Yeah,
but people think, you know, other denominations of dying in Christ, you know, by faith only, or, you know, receive Jesus into my heart type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they think that's being saved. So you ask them that question, they'll say, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, because they believe that.
And then it goes back even further than that.
It does.
Back to the church.
It goes back to what the scriptures say.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But
you're right.
Yeah. That's right.
So they can still think in error.
We got so many people that believe that they're going to go to heaven because they're good people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you can be good but still not saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And again, Christ said, you only go through him. Mm-hmm. If you die in Christ, you're not going. Simple as that. Wide is the gate, but a lot of it is not going.
Cornelius, he was one. He was a good man, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was something needed, right? And you know, like I said, it's so much teaching in these last days. It's a lot of, you know, teaching out there. It's, you know, like you're teaching like once saved, always saved.
Yeah.
Are you with me? You know, I study and I'm still studying about that, right? Because I heard a preacher said it like this, right? He said, yes, it's true, right? He said, if you are a true Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're going, yes, you are going. But if you're not, you're not going. In other words, if you are a Christian and you fall, you would what? Get right back up.
Right.
Are you with me? That's a true Christian. And if that's the type of Christian, you know, once saved, always saved, because you want to stay saved. Are you with me? You want to stay saved. You want to stay right. Are you with me? So when you fall, and if you fall, you won't wallow in the mire. You get up. But I'm still studying this, people. You know, I want to give you so much of this, right? But there are some who's saying that you know, once saved, always saved, and they're teaching that even if you are a bad Christian, right? And you're a Christian, right? You know, you're still going to be saved. That's not what God is telling us, right? I don't believe, right? Anyway, because what he's saying is, right, when we wallow in the mire, right, it's like he died for nothing. Are you with me? It's just like if I brought a gift and give it to you and you don't open the gift. Are you with me? I brought it to you for what? Yeah. Hoping that you open it, but you don't open it and you don't get it. Right? And there's some people, like I said, you know, they teach it. They said that once you're saved, right, you can do anything, act a fool, anything that you want, right? You're saved.
Amen.
And they even go to an extent to say this, right? There's levels in heaven.
Yeah.
And there's levels in hell. You ever heard that? I tell you, I'd be listening to this thing.
I heard something like that.
You know? And if they teach that there's levels in hell, that's all right with some people. say they don't do so bad. They know they're going to hell, but they don't do so bad they don't get to the bad hell. Are you with me? You know, they're just going to do just enough, you know, not to get there. And then when you look at heaven, if you got levels in heaven, and then you're looking at this, right? I could just, you know, stop where I'm at. You know, I'm right already. I'm just going to stop, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not what God is telling us Christians to do. Right. He said, keep continuing to grow. If you continue to grow, you continue to do. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Grow. Grow. You see, we don't ever stop growing. We don't ever stop pressing toward that goal more and more. It's not like, well, I'm close enough. You know, I'm going to go shoot some dice now. Are you with me? I'm going to go to have a good time because I'm going to heaven. That don't even sound right, do it? Right? But this is what the teaching is, you know, it today. People are, go ahead.
Along with what you're saying, is people also believe that there's a such thing as purgatory. Mm-hmm. That they're going to go somewhere when they die and wait before they go to heaven, and they might have an opportunity to try to do better so they can mm-hmm. change. You don't get one chance. You know, that's not what the Bible teaches. But people, I believe that what you are saying about people that believe that they're once saved, always saved, that they don't have to repent. They just keep on doing anything they want to do and everything they want to do because they got saved, they got baptized, they went to church, and now they can always be saved. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it goes, neither. You know, we got taught you're supposed to repent when you know you sinned and messed up. Ask for repentance, you know, and you stop doing what you know is wrong, and you turn your life around to do what is right. Mm-hmm. But that's a big difference. People that usually believe that way don't live like Christians. They live the way they want to live, and they try to turn things around mm-hmm. to suit them. But this is another thing which what the devil puts out and makes it grow. People believe it, and it spreads. It's amazing how stuff that's not right can spread faster than the truth and what is right. People can't believe that much quicker. But this is what the devil is always putting out there, and this is what's spreading and turning the world around. That's why we're in the shape we're in now. We live. People not want to accept what is true. They rather accept what is not because it's easier to do that. And the devil say, yeah, come on, you can do this, you can do that. But your itching ears won't be it.
In these last days, man will look for things that make him feel right. You know, make him feel comfortable. You know, and you know, one of the things the Bible warns us about is money. You know, the love of it, right? The love of possessions. For, you know, when a man possessed don't make him the man in God's sight. Yeah. You see, because God don't care what you possess. He cares about who you are and where your heart is. Are you with me? Because if your heart is here, that's where your heart is. But if your heart is in heaven, that's where your treasure lies. Mm-hmm. You see, so forth and so on. And you know, the teaching, like I said, we have some teaching that we have to be careful because some of the teaching that's out here sounds good. Yeah. It sounds proper. You know, it ain't hurting nobody. You know? You know, I'm gonna do so much and you know, I'm gonna still get God because God is love. You see, he's love and his blood has washed me clean, and I can't get dirty again. But the Bible gives us a few examples, like Ananias and Sapphira. Now, I don't know if they went to heaven or not, but when I read that, I can't see no heaven. Can you? I'm not God, right? But I can't see heaven for them. Are you with me? Because they died. Because they lied. And you know, it's a saying that we used to say, however you die, that's how you're going to wake up. Even if you die a sinner, you're going to wake, you know, you're going to wake back up a sinner in hell, or whatever, so forth and so on, right? Ananias and Sapphira, we look at Judas, right? Judas was one of the 12. He was one of the 12, right? And he had an opportunity to repent. He had an opportunity to repent. But he didn't repent godly. He was just sorry that he got things went awry, you know. You see, and I can't, I you know, I'm not God, but I can't see heaven, right? So you know, we just have to continue to study, and like I said, stick together in this. Are you with me? If Brother Patterson died and go on, I pray that you stick together, you know, because that's what it's about. You know, if you don't do it together, like how God says, you're gonna be scattered. You know, you're gonna be in a congregation and scattered. You know, you're gonna go ahead.
You just brought up Ananias and Sapphira, and chapter 5:5, and Ananias heard these words. Wait a minute, my fault. Verse 4. While it remained, it was not your own. After it was sold, then it's not in your own control. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Again, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. He didn't have time to repent.
Exactly.
So he didn't have time to repent.
But remember, he was with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, they were supposed to what? Sell what they have and distribute it to the apostles, so everybody would not be in need.
Yeah.
Right. But they decided to do it their way, and you see, they were with them, you know. And like I said, I don't know where it went, but you know, when you read it, you know, it gives you some thoughts. It gives me a thought like this, that I better try to stay right. I'm a humble person, I am, right? And I'm learning more and more about humility, right? Humility, it seems like being humble, you're a coward, but that's strength in a time of hardship. Are you with me? And I've, you know, in my lifetime, especially when I became a Christian, I've been pushed around physically. And mentally, things were said, so forth and so on, right? And I try to do it God's way by turning the other cheek. It hurts sometimes, right? But you know what? Every time I did it, I prospered. Not one time I didn't do it, I didn't prosper. Every time I done it, I prospered. Listen to Christ, what he says. Are you with me? He also says, for as much as lies within you, live peaceable with all men. Yeah. So it comes a time for all things that you might have to say, listen, enough is enough. Are you with me? You might have to say that. But remember, right, where there's no kindling, the fire goes out. Okay? So, you know, work together, live together, love one another. You know, like I said, you know, I love, you know, I don't love fleshly, I love spiritually, all right, because I know that fleshly love don't last. That thing ain't real, you know, that thing, it ain't real, all right. Brother Britton.